With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
We are stewards of God's varied grace to us. In other words, the Spirit-led life is stewardship that makes us giving people. That we really embrace the notion, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And stewardship is taking what God has given and giving ourselves to giving it for Him.
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us the message entitled, Spirit-Led Giving is Stewardship. We continue with our series, Led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in Biblical Perspective. The Apostle Peter urges us to be good stewards of God's varied grace. A good steward is trustworthy, faithful, good, and dependable. A Spirit-led stewardship life is intentional. It is comprehensive in a way that it governs your time, talents, treasures, and every aspect of your life. It is a generous giving life, and it is a prioritized life that follows the Lord's instruction. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're looking at verses 1 through 11. Let's rejoin Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with a message entitled, Spirit-Led Giving is Stewardship.
Look with me now in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. This is God's Word, and God's Word is the truth. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades. God's Word abides forever. By God's grace, may this His Word be preached for you. Okay, confession. Let me give a confession here to start. Confession. This is every member commitment Sunday, and every member commitment Sunday was begun at this church when it began 55 plus years ago, and by our founding pastor and leaders. And so when I came, I inherited every member commitment Sunday. And so here's my confession. When I first came here, I absolutely dreaded. I had this Sunday was my greatest anxiety and dread of any Sunday in the year. Now, you say, well, why'd you do that? Well, listen, when you start talking to people about money, there's only about three responses and two of them aren't good. So anyway, I would dread it for many, many different reasons, but I would dread it. But I want to share something with you. I've been here now into my 18th year, and somewhere back there, some time ago, 18th year. So for those of you who keep introducing me as your new pastor, really I'm not. I know you think I am, but I'm not. Somewhere back there, there was a transition. And this is the truth. This Sunday has become a Sunday of not anxiety, but anticipation. Not dread, but joy for me. Now there's a couple of reasons why. Let me first of all acknowledge the practical wisdom of our founding pastor and leaders to give us this Sunday. The practical areas, our deacons are in the middle of finishing up and bringing for final approval our budget as a congregation. And they have a couple of charges. One of their charges is this. You take the resources that God gives and gives us a budget that guides the use of those resources so we fulfill our mission. For God's glory, Briarwood is committed to equipping Christians to worship God and reach Birmingham to reach the world for Christ. So we want you to create a budget that accelerates and accentuates the fulfillment of that mission and work under the policies of the session. For instance, 50 cents out of every dollar by the time you get to Faith Promise and our giving for causes outside of Briarwood, 50 cents out of every dollar has to leave Briarwood for the cause of mercy, benevolence, church planting, church revitalization beyond our own realm of our own campus throughout the world. And so they've taken that seriously. A number of other policy issues that they've done. Well, one of the great blessings is for them to receive from you the communication, what do you anticipate God is giving you through your regular tithe and giving to Briarwood, so they're not only framed by the policies and principles of our missions and our value statement, but they are also informed from you, and they have that information from you. So I see the practical wisdom of it and have bowed to it for a long time. But there's a couple of principled things that have made this Sunday of anxiety and dread one of anticipation and joy for me. Let me share those with you, those two things that have happened. Number one is this. I have come to understand that basically stewardship is the Christian life. And to have the call of the session to make sure there's a whole season that we focus upon it, that stewardship is the call of the Christian life. Let me go ahead and get ahead of this. If you're visiting with us, we have been in a series of looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Next week, we're coming back to this very text that I just read to talk about the stewardship of your spiritual gifts. Did you know each one of you have a spiritual gift that is not repeated? It is unique. And that God has entrusted it to you as a functioning member of the body of Christ. And we'll address that. We'll take a look at that next week from this very text. But what we're looking at today is a simple phrase in that text that I just read that said that we are stewards of God's varied grace to us. In other words, the Spirit-led life is stewardship that makes us giving people. That we really embrace the notion it's more blessed to give than to receive. And stewardship is taking what God has given and giving ourselves to giving it for Him. That's what stewardship ultimately is. The Spirit-led life is a life of stewardship. And to have a season in which you and I take the time to look at the Christian life of stewardship. In fact, if you noticed in the card, doesn't just have treasure, your finances, it's got time and talents there as well. That this stewardship is over all of life. It is not just one element of life. But, let me say this quickly. Not only am I glad to have a season where we can look at basically the Christian life, which is stewardship, and that stewards are called to be faithful, and that we are givers of what God has given to us for His kingdom and His cause, it not only gives us a season to do that, but it gives us an opportunity to focus upon the one element of stewardship that Satan uses to entrap us continually, and that is finances. Now, let me be clear. Stewardship is much more than finances. That's why it says time, treasure, and talents. It's much more. But it's very clear that Jesus knew how much the love of money would entrap us. It's very clear. That's why He makes warnings. It's harder for a rich man to get into the kingdom than for a camel to get through an eye of a needle. That's why He tells us no man can serve two masters. He'll either love one or hate the other. You cannot serve God and He didn't put time. He didn't put talents. You can't serve God and money. Mammon. Financial resources. He knows how Satan uses money to draw your affection and allegiance as opposed to the God of glory to have our affection and allegiance. So we do unapologetically have the opportunity to look at what Jesus warns us can ensnare us. And Paul made it very clear that the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. So principally, I'm glad that I can address stewardship in general because it is the Christian life. And I'm glad that we have this one category that is so easily ensnaring to us that we can take on head on as Christians. And we can either get glad in God's grace or get mad because we don't believe the truth of God's grace. Well, let me give you a second reason. Because this season gives us an opportunity to do some self-examining. What has the affection and allegiance of my life? Am I seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness with things added to me, or am I seeking things and let the kingdom be added to me? It is a wonderful time of assessment, of examination, personally, my marriage. Where do we stand as a husband and wife together? And this is a great time for me to teach my children. I do hope and pray this was not, you know, David Roebuck, one of our deacons, since he said it publicly, I feel I need to acknowledge him publicly because I wished I'd have said it, and I don't want to say it as if I said it. He said it last week in our convening when he's the deacon that's over guiding us through this season. And he said, you know, one of the things I realized, it's very easy for this to become a time of the season for me as a Christian to walk my way through it and say, okay, well, I got to fill out my United Way pledge. I'm going to fill out my Kiwanis pledge. I'm going to fill out my PTA pledge. I'm going to fill out this. Oh, God, here's my church pledge. It just becomes one more moment where I identify the resources that I'm going to be sending to the church instead of realizing this is my life. Stewardship's a Christian life. Stewardship is a declaration of just what does the Spirit of God have hold of me and how does the Spirit of God have hold of me. Not only do I not want to treat this as just a check the box. You know, honey, what did we do last year? Well, add a little couple of dollars to it. But I really want to use it as a time for personal inventory, a time for personal examination and assessment. I really want to walk my way through that under the eye of God. And I want to do it because of the grace of God. I'm a steward of God's grace. This isn't what I'm doing for God to be gracious. This is what I'm doing because God has been gracious. I am a steward of God's varied graces. I have salvation. I got the blood of Jesus. I got righteousness. I've got the Spirit of God. I got spiritual gifts. I've been given time. I've got a house. I've got a car. I've got children. I've got all of these things that God has entrusted to me. I'm not going to let this moment slide by with just checking a box and putting a card in. This is too important a moment for me in my life. And I want my children to start this. I want them to see me and hear me. And I want them to start learning what does it mean to have a prioritized life for Christ. What does it mean to do that? Not just check the box, but live the life. What does that look like and how does it accomplish? Because how great is my God. How wonderful the grace of the Lord Jesus. So here's what I'd like to do. I want you to take a look at that passage in 1 Peter chapter 4 that I just quoted, that we are stewards of God's varied grace. Now, I'm coming back here next week, much bigger treatment of this text, but I want you to look at just one word in that text, stewardship, that we are stewards. What is stewardship? Can I give you the Greek word for stewardship, which actually is two Greek words that are put together? The two Greek words translated in your Bible, stewardship, are these words, oikonomos, oikonomos. Oikonomos, that is, oika is the Greek word for house. Nomos is the Greek word for laws or rules. So oikonomos literally is house rules or the rules of the house. Now, it's not hard to make that jump, is it? Who lives in you? Jesus. You're his house. You're his dwelling place. He lives in you. He abides in you. He dwells within you. You are his home. It's not let me obey the rules for him to make me his home. By grace, you are his home. He has saved you. He indwells you. Now, what are the rules of the house established by the owner of the house? And in fact, we're about to find out in stewardship whether we really think he owns the house or not. Or do we own it? And so we're about to find out ownership. Am I an owner of everything I have or a steward? And God is the owner and sets the rules of the house for me. Oikonomos, rules of that. Did you not grow in a home that had rules? Rules of the house? I did. My mama had all kinds of rules of the house. For instance, if you came in the front door, then that meant you were a visitor. So you got to open the door and come in. If you came in the back door, that meant you were either family or friends. And if you came in the back door, you'd be confronted with a sign. Take off your shoes. What wasn't said underneath that sign was, take off your shoes, and if you don't, it may cost you your life. I remember when my dad and mom made the investment in that beige, I can still hear it today, wall-to-wall carpet. Can you believe this, Daddy? Wall-to-wall carpet. And that beige wall-to-wall carpet was not going to get tracked up by anybody that was her friend or her family. My mother was a clean freak. I mean, really and truly, OCD, look it up in the dictionary. Her picture is right beside it. I'll promise you that. We mopped and swept the kitchen floor 3 times every day. Had to check that box. That was a rule of the house. And I tell you, my mom, she was, I know people think I'm kidding about this, but I'm not sure I am. My mother would put newspaper underneath the cuckoo clock just in case. And I was the one that had to change the newspaper every day. So I mean, we had certain rules in the house and you had to follow them. Bed had to be made up before you left the house, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And of course I married my mama. I know that because at my age, I get up to use the bathroom a little early in the morning sometime. And I get back, guess what? Bed's usually made up. I'm up. I'm done. So it's done. So, I mean, that's just kind of goes through. There were rules of the house and everybody followed along with them. Oikonomos, the rules of the house. God dwells in his church. What's good stewardship that our officers are to follow? God dwells in you. What are the rules of the house? But let me take this a step further. Oikonomos, does that sound familiar to you? We actually get an English word transliterated from those two Greek words. Oikonomos, translated, rules of the house, called stewardship in your Bible. But transliterated, oikonomos, gives us another word. It's called oikonomos economics. Economics. We're looking at what is the economy of a Christian life. What is the comprehensive economy of the Christian life? A spirit-filled life is a stewardship life. It is a life of establishing God's economy in my life. Not working God into the economy of my life, but living God's economy in my life. Now, when you take the passages that look with stewardship, there are a number of things that come out. Let me give you 4 that you can just jot down. A spirit-filled life is a stewardship life, and a stewardship life, number 1, a stewardship life is intentional. It is intentional. Stewards were intentional. And in fact, there are a number of words about this. Intentional. They were trustworthy. A good steward is faithful. A good steward is dependable. A good steward is trustworthy. In fact, we even call stewards trustees or trustees. They are trustworthy. They are faithful. They are dependable. They are intentional. Number 2, what are they intentional about? Stewardship in the Christian life is comprehensive. It looks at my experiences of life, the resources God has given to me, the time. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Buy back the time. Make use of the time. So I have a comprehensive stewardship. It governs my time. It governs governs my talents. It governs my treasures. It governs every aspect of life. Number three, it is not only intentional and comprehensive. Ultimately, the steward life is a giving life. We are receiving, therefore we are giving. Now, y'all, I know I've used this example, but I can't think of a better one. It's such a good one. Right there in Israel, here's the Sea of Galilee, two-thirds drinking water, irrigation, fish, everything's living. Down here's the Dead Sea. Nothing's living. A living sea, a dead sea. Same river feeds both seas. What's the difference? The Sea of Galilee takes in and gives out. The Dead Sea only takes in. It dies. If you're just a taker-inner, you're going to die. You're going to be, there's nothing living about you. To live, you gotta give. It's the giving church and the giving Christian that's the living church and the living Christian. So we're intentional and comprehensive in our giving economy of life. Number four, we also are prioritized. We are prioritized. So I was a new Christian, and I was trying to get ahead of Cindy somewhere, and somebody told me that, because I was way behind her, and somebody told me, said, you know, that Christians, good Christians, get life verses. I said, oh, really? So I set about finding a life verse, and I found a life verse. My life verse, and many of you know it, because everything you get from me has got it referred to, Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And of course, I went to Cindy, and I said, I got a life verse. She said, you do? I said, yeah. She said, oh, that's wonderful. I said, you got a life verse? Well, guess what? Yeah, I had a life verse. I knew you had one. And I said, well, mine's better than yours. She said, what's yours? And I said, well, mine's about priorities. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. You know, Cindy, I remember teaching her. Cindy, it's the first things that are important in life. Jesus is to have first place in everything. It's the first things that are important. So my life verse says that you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then she says, yeah, I agree. And I said, you do? She said, yeah. I said, okay, what's your life verse? She said, Matthew 6:33. She already had. I said, you know, I think we ought to be married. We both got the same verses. I'm glad we're married. It is a matter of priorities. What is first in our life? A stewardship life is a prioritized life. So it's an intentional, comprehensive, it is giving, it is prioritized. So where does that lead us to? Well, let me give you your takeaway. Here's your takeaway today. The Spirit-led stewardship is the opportunity to intentionally affirm. Spirit-led stewardship is the opportunity to intentionally affirm what is first in our lives, which reveals who or what is ultimately first in our hearts. So let me say it again. The Spirit-led stewardship, that is a comprehensive, intentional lifestyle, the economy of God in our life, becomes an opportunity to intentionally affirm what is first in our lives, and that will reveal who or what is ultimately first in our hearts. Behavior betrays belief. Ultimately, I found this out as a Christian and as a pastor. People do what they want to do. Well, Harry, what about providential hindrance? Okay. Yep, there have been times I've wanted to be here in worship and preaching, and I've been home with the whatever crud it was, and I couldn't get here. But you know, even then, there was a wanter that kept me from being here. I didn't want to infect you. Ultimately, people do what they want to do. This is the Lord's Day. People have made a decision in terms of the priority of gathered worship today. Is it something that fits in, something I may, if it works out, or is it a priority? I finally learned that in my life. People do what they want to do. And therefore, what I do reveals the wanter in my heart, what I want to do. That's what it ultimately reveals. So that's why one of my favorite passages of Scripture is in the Sermon on the Mount, right before you get to Matthew 6:33, and this is what it says. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. My treasure placing tells you my treasure keeping. Where I put my treasure, I got kids, I got grandchildren, they're treasures to me. I've got God entrusting resources to me. God's entrusted a house to me. God's entrusted grace to me. God's entrusted the gospel to me. God has entrusted all of those things to me. What He has entrusted to me is glorious. What I do with it tells people what it really means to me. The first things become the opportunity. What we do, what we intentionally affirm that is first in our lives, then actually reveals what is ultimately first in our hearts. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also.
A Spirit-led stewardship life is intentional. It is comprehensive. It is a generous giving life, and it is a prioritized life that follows the Lord's instruction. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's broadcast was taken, write and request, Spirit-led giving is stewardship. Simply ask for message number 13617. Again, that's message number 13617. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. In the world, the workplace, and even in the church, there is an obvious lack of biblical, godly, dynamic leadership. Dr. Harry Reeder's 3D Leadership is devoted to equipping the church and believers to multiply and mobilize leaders in all walks of life. This expanded, revised, and reformatted publication of the leadership dynamic includes discussion questions at the end of each chapter. It is a great resource for your personal development, group Bible study, or for church officer and leadership training. The suggested retail price is $14.99, but now through the Briarwood online bookstore, you can order it for just $12. 3D Leadership, defining, developing, and deploying Christian leaders who can change the world. To order your copy, go to briarwood.org/3D. That's briarwood.org/3D. We do hope Harry's teaching on In Perspective is being used to strengthen your walk in Christ and your understanding of God's Word. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. The app is yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.